With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
Welcome to Robin Hoop, an NBA Draft show here on Dash Radio's Nothing Net channel, where we bring rich takes to the poorly informed. Here we go, another episode of Robin Hoop Radio here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. This week we are going to touch on, obviously, the NBA draft, but the main focus is going to be my draft big board, and we're going to compare it to some of the more popular boards out there. One thing I want to recommend for anyone that's looking to make a big board or do any sort of mock drafting or trades, a website that I'd strongly recommend you use is TradeMBA.com. Very cool website that I've definitely done a number of things on. We're going to actually use that website today as we kind of go through my rankings as well as taking a look at some of the other popular rankings out there. But TradeMBA.com, you can actually set up an account. It's free. And what's really cool about the way they have it set up is that it'll save your draft big board. You can then share it with everyone on there. You can share it on Twitter or wherever you want to post, which is very cool. And then what it does is it compares your big board to some of their big boards out there, such as the Trade NBA Consensus. You have CBS, ESPN, and The Ringer. So very cool features there, and that's what we're going to kind of discuss on this week's episode. So starting off, this will be no surprise, but one of my favorite players, obviously, in this draft class is someone we did an episode on. Very first episode, actually, of our show was focused on this player, and that is Denny Avdija. Denny Avdija, of course, you know, 6'9". 6'9 wingspan, lots to like about Denny Avdija. He's going to be a small forward, power forward, very complete player, a lot to like about him. I have him number one on my board. Let's compare to the others. Trade NBA Consensus is 6, CBS is 7, ESPN is 4, and The Ringer is 4 as well. Now, I know that I'm higher than a lot of people. Most people do not have him as the top overall player, but to me, he's the most complete player in this class. Now, a lot of people like to look at that and say, well, he doesn't have an elite skill. I would argue that the difference between him and some of these other players is maybe some of these other players have a elite skill, but they don't have a complete game. There's big holes. Denny Avdija has no holes in his game, and he's becoming a better shooter. And I've been saying from the beginning, if he's a reliable shooter, he is the number one player in this draft class. I fully believe that. And the thing about his jump shot is we saw improvements on his form. We definitely saw him taking the next steps when they restarted their season over in Israel. I'm a huge fan of his. Great work ethic. Very confident player. And a lot to like about his game. All right, so moving on to our next player here on my big board. We have number two, Isaac Okoro. 6'6", height, 6'9", wingspan. Obviously the player out of Auburn. I've said this from the beginning, very similar to what I said about Denny Avdija, is that if Isaac Okoro already had a jump shot, which we know he doesn't, if he already had a jump shot, I think he is like running away with that top spot. I already have him and Denny like kind of a 1A, 1B scenario, if you will. I'm just such a huge fan of his. He is hands down the best defender in this class. There's some other players, of course, that are very good defenders that are probably pretty close, but to me, when you look at this draft class, there are two skills that I think will help out NBA teams immediately. And one of those skills is Isaac Okoro's defense. I think day one, he's going to make a big impact on whatever team he goes to. And so that's why I have him at number two. And I do trust, I know I'm a little bit in the minority here. I've heard some people just bash his jump shooting, but I honestly think he's going to figure out the shooting part of it. And I'm not that worried. If I'm an NBA team, I take him as early as possible. In fact, you know, I'm a Wolves fan. If the Wolves decided they wanted to take Isaac Okoro at number one, I would have no issue with that. I'm such a big fan of his, and I think he's really going to make a big impact. You know, if you think about it, Auburn, Bruce Pearl talked about how he didn't see him as a freshman. You know, he didn't play like a freshman. Very high IQ. There's so many things to like about his game, and to me, it's a no-brainer for any NBA team. He's going to make a difference. Next up, we have number three, and that is LaMelo Ball. Oh, actually, before we do that, so I have Isaac Okoro at number two. Trade NBA consensus is number nine, CBS nine, The Ringer is nine, and ESPN is seven. So we're definitely differing a little bit more there than we were on Avdija. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, obviously there's a little bit of consensus here. Trade NBA, CBS, and The Ringer are all at nine. You know, kind of in that back half of the top ten, it seems like where a lot of people want him to go or think he will go. Next up, like I said, LaMelo Ball, 6'7 height, 6'10 at wingspan. If you haven't watched LaMelo Ball play, I suggest that you do so. Although I would argue that if you're listening to this show, you're probably a pretty big draft fan. You've seen LaMelo Ball play. You've really been able to catch some of the exciting plays he's been able to make, not only just in his career over in Australia, but even in high school. I mean, who doesn't know LaMelo Ball's famous walking to the half-court line, pointing at the floor, and Babe Ruthing it, right? Hitting that shot and calmly walking away. When I look at LaMelo Ball, I think he has one of the highest, if not the highest, ceilings in this class. His passing is, you know, otherworldly. He's so good as far as being a playmaker and passing, and he sees the court so well. When he was doing his interview for ESPN with Mike Schmitz, the one thing he kind of touched on is they said, well, how did you learn this? What is it? And he just said, it's just kind of there. It's just kind of a natural instinct as far as passing and seeing the floor. And that's not something you see with a lot of players. Now, obviously, the one player that comes to mind when you think of really having this just next-level playmaking and vision is Ricky Rubio. And the thing you think about with LaMelo Ball is very similarly, right? You have shooting questions. And that's the thing. We're sitting here at pick number three, and this is the third player, you could argue, that has shooting concerns. Now, I think it's fair to say that LaMelo Ball, when I watch him play, the one thing I will add is that I think he's a better shooter than the stats say. When he was playing over in Australia, he really had a very large role, and he was expected to do a lot of things. I will say not one of those things was defense, and that's one of the obviously question marks about LaMelo Ball's game is his defense. But when it comes to shooting, I do think he's a more efficient player than the numbers suggest. I think a big part of what we're working with there, to me, is the shot selection. So if he can be more efficient, it's going to come down to shot selection. And I think when you get to the NBA, teams are going to have a different role for him. And teams are going to have him being much more of a facilitator than they are just a guy that's going to go out and get buckets. Now, the thing you have to caution yourself with LaMelo Ball is he's a guy that needs the ball in his hands. So when you're drafting him, I think you have to realize that for him to really have the value you want, he has to be on the court. He has to have the ball in his hands. So a good example would be, you know, my favorite team, the Timberwolves. There's been a lot of speculation and steam with LaMelo Ball to the Wolves. And the reason why I think that's not the worst thing is because think about what a good scorer and what a good shooter not only Karl Anthony Towns is, but D'Angelo Russell. So if you can move D'Angelo Russell more off ball as opposed to being that primary facilitator, I do think that can be beneficial. I think that can work. The Wolves, for example, have shown last year, let's say, after they made their trades, that they were very much willing to play two guards. When I say two guards, I don't mean a point guard and a shooting guard. I mean like two smaller guards, two point guards. And when D'Angelo Russell would play with Jordan McLaughlin, it would be very successful. So I do think that there's legitimate steam for the Wolves to take LaMelo Ball. I don't think that's a stretch, right? Now, if you look at other players in this top 10, I do think there's some players that they've been linked to. Same with the Warriors, players that they get linked to that that aren't realistic and probably aren't going to be the pick, but they make sense to put that out there, right? This is the time of year where you're going to get lots and lots of smoke screens. That's really the way the NBA works. But with the Melo ball here, I do think that he would be a guy that would make a lot of sense if the Wolves went that direction at pick number one. But here we have him. I said third. Now, the consensus on Trade NBA is second. When you look at CBS and ESPN, they have him number one overall, and the Ringer has him three. So pretty much everyone's going to have him in your top three. I mean, it's really difficult to I'd be interested for people to explain how they don't, right? There's certain players. Sometimes you'll look at a person's big board, and you see like a very, very big outlier. To me, it's one thing if it's a big outlier in positivity, right? There's going to be some guys on my board that I'm much higher on than most people. But it always fascinates me when you'll see someone that's just so much lower on a prospect. My question to those people is always, what exactly are you seeing that like nobody else can see? Like, what is it you're seeing? And I think that's an interesting thing. And I'm not ripping those people. To me, it's just very interesting when you have someone that can latch onto something that they like or don't like and how it really affects their opinion. So something to watch for there. At number four, we have Anthony Edwards. Now, Anthony Edwards, of course, shooting guard out of Georgia, 6'3", 6'9", wingspan, super athletic. A lot to like about Anthony Edwards. Now, if you look at where the consensus has him, Trade NBA has him first. CBS is three, ESPN is two, and The Ringer is two. Anthony Edwards is another player that, you know, by all accounts, would be in almost everybody's top three. That's the way it's set up. He is an absolutely fantastic talent, a gifted athlete. There's a lot to like about his game. Is he going to be a good shooter? I think a lot of that comes down to LaMelo Ball, right? The same things we talked about with LaMelo Ball are really in effect with Anthony Edwards. On a very bad Georgia team, they were not good. I mean, plain and simple, that was a bad basketball team. Now, if we look at some of the portions of his game, like I said, great athlete. I think he's shown enough flashes for me anyways on the defensive end where I do think that that's going to be something that he's going to be able to be good at. Well, maybe not necessarily good, but I don't think he's going to be a negative like he was in college because he's not going to have that type of role, right? He's going to be in there and they're going to, depending on who he goes to. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm a betting man, and I am, but in this case, if I could put a wager down on the NBA draft, I will say this. I think the team that's going to take him, maybe it's for a trade, I don't know. But I think the team that's probably going to take him is the Warriors. And you think about how good the Warriors are, right? I mean, they have so much talent on that basketball team, whether it's Klay Thompson, whether it's Steph Curry. Well, you know, you can kind of split hairs, but it comes to Draymond Green. But a very quality player, not as good as he used to be, of course. But that's a team that's, you know, got some needs and got some talent, and I do think there's a good chance that the Warriors try to trade out of this spot. I do think that's realistic. So that also could come into play, of course. And if a trade happens, my guess would be it's probably for a team that's targeting LaMelo Ball. But as of right now, I think the way it works out would be the Warriors are there at two, end up taking Anthony Edwards. That's just kind of how I see things playing out. But Anthony Edwards, like we talked about again, Trade NBA has him first. CBS is third, ESPN is second, and The Ringer is second. Again, he is fourth overall on my NBA big board. Up at five, we have Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes, very, very good point guard out of France, 6'5", with a just over a 6'8" wingspan. Now, Killian Hayes is one of the top international prospects out there. So much to like about Killian. I saw someone earlier today say, you know, when you're in that 4 to 7 range, they said when they're watching the draft, every team that passes on him is going to make you upset. And I think that's a valid point that Killian Hayes is a player that if he does not get taken as early as most of us feel he should, that's going to be something that I think is going to be frustrating to a lot of NBA draft fans. Now, I will say this. My understanding, at least what I've heard, is that scouts or NBA teams are much lower on Killian Hayes than NBA draft Twitter and, you know, NBA draft podcasts, radio shows, things like that. So a lot of us are higher on Killian, it sounds like, than the NBA is. Time will tell on that. You know, we're going to find out in a day whether that's true or not, but that's sure what it sounds like. And if you look at the consensus here, we have Trade NBA has him fifth, CBS has him fourth, ESPN 10th, and The Ringer first. If you haven't watched Killian Hayes, definitely go out and do so. Now, you know, there's obviously, he's not the most amazing player ever, I would say. it just in the fact that there are some areas that he's going to have to work on, but he's young, right? We're not worried about his ability to improve. That's definitely there, and I've seen so much from his game. He needs to get a little more ambidextrous when it comes to using both hands, obviously. There are things to love about him, though. I think he's a guy that has proven he could be a triple-double threat when it comes to his game and translating to the NBA. A lot of it's going to depend on the team he goes to, the development curve. There's so many aspects of his game to like, and to me, I'm buying all in. And if I'm a team in that, I think, honestly, a team in the top five, for sure in the top, seven or eight, it makes a lot of sense to take a guy like Killian Hayes. Lots to like about him. Next up we have, I'm going to say this a lot, but one of my favorite players in this draft class, and that is Tyrese Maxey. We look at historically over the last number of years, and for whatever reason, teams don't draft highly Kentucky guards. And part of it is, I think, the system that they use there. They don't really highlight them. Another good example of this would be Karl Anthony Towns. When he was at Kentucky, he barely shot any three-pointers. And now you come to the NBA, and he's one of the most efficient, effective big men three-point shooters in the history of the game. And it was something that wasn't a big part of his game in college because, that's what they decided they wanted to get from him. John Calipari was... That's not what he wanted to do. So a lot of it is just how Calipari uses these players, how he showcases them. Now, Tyrese Maxey, 6'3", a 6'6 wingspan. He's a freshman, and I do have him higher than a lot of people. And I'll tell you right now, if you're sleeping on Tyrese Maxey, wake up, because he is a fantastic player. I mean, legitimately is going to end up being one of the best players in this draft class. And I'll say this, if in the end he ended up being the best player out of this class, it would not shock me. That's how high I am on him. He can play. He's a really good defender, very good offensively. There's so many aspects of his game that are so much better than people realize, I think. And he's going to be able to score. He's going to be able to do so many things at the next level. I think sky's the limit for Tyrese Maxey. And we're going to be talking about Tyrese the same way we talk about other Kentucky guards. When it comes to the draft, you're talking about Tyler Hero. Obviously went a lot later than he would now if people had really done what they should have last year and drafted him appropriately. Jamal Murray. I mean, the list goes on. There's players out of Kentucky that just get slept on a little bit, and it ends up being a big mistake. So time will tell on it, of course, but Tyrese Maxey's a guy that I am huge on. And if you look at the consensus, we talk about people being low on him, and they are. Trade NBA has him 14th, CBS 15th, ESPN 14th, The Ringer 13th. That's a mistake. Again, you are sleeping on Tyrese Maxey. You need to wake up. He is the real deal. Next up at 7, we have Kyra Lewis Jr. I love Kyra Lewis Jr. A fantastic prospect. 6'3" with a 6'6" wingspan. Obviously a sophomore coming out of Alabama. I have him 7th. Looking over at the consensus board, it is Trade NBA has him 12th. CBS has him 14th. ESPN 16th. And The Ringer has him at 14. I think a perfect word to describe Kyra Lewis, and I've seen other people sending this out recently, is complete. He is a complete player. Also, incredibly fast player. If you are an NBA team and you need a point guard, I'm telling you, look no further than Kyra Lewis. Much like I talked about Tyrese Maxey, I think that teams are going to look back at where he gets drafted and say this was a mistake. I saw this on Bleacher Report, but a team executive believes when you redraft in 5 years, he could easily go in the top five. I'm not going to disagree. I think he's a very, very fantastic player, and I think teams are going to regret that they did not take him sooner, because here I have him early, right? I have him sitting here at number 7, but that doesn't mean that teams are going to take him there. That's just my opinion. If you look at the consensus, Trade NBA 12th, CBS 14, ESPN 16, The Ringer 14. Very much like we talked about Killian Hayes, I feel like NBA draft circles have him higher than NBA teams likely do. To me, that's an issue. I think that they're wrong. Time will tell, obviously, but that's where I have him, is at number 7. Next up, we have Cole Anthony out of North Carolina, obviously. 6'3", almost 6'5 wingspan. I'm higher on him than a lot of people. One thing that was interesting is a former guest of our show, Richard Stamen, he can be found at Mavs Draft. Definitely one of my favorite follows for the NBA Draft. Very knowledgeable. But he actually posed the question on Twitter, am I wrong to keep Am I wrong to keep Cole Anthony in my top 10? And I'll tell you this, Richard, you are not. And I think a lot of people are low on him because he didn't have the season they were hoping for in college. But I'll tell you this. He did an interview recently, and I really searched this out. I wanted to find interviews with Cole Anthony because I wanted to see, when you look at Cole Anthony's one season in college, just how healthy was he. And he actually said in an interview he was maybe 100% for five games. So to me, what you need to do is you need to take his college tape with a grain of salt. Look back a little further. Look at his high school tape. Look at how explosive he was in high school. And then say to yourself, which version of Cole Anthony are we going to get? He's healthy now. You're going to get more so the guy that's in high school, the guy that was expected to be one of the top players in this draft class. And that's why I have him at eight, because I don't share the concerns a lot of people do with his college game. He wasn't healthy, plain and simple. Again, now let's look at where the consensus has him. Trade NBA 16th, CBS 16, ESPN 19, and The Ringer 15. They're too low on Cole Anthony. You need to be drafting him in the top 10. I do think ultimately there is going to be an NBA team that's going to take a chance on him because of how highly touted he was. You know, a good example of this, and I'm sure I've told this story before, but you know, as a Wolves fan, I go to a lot of the drafts as far as they have like draft parties, things like that. And I remember the year that DeAndre Jordan came out. To start the season, he was a top 10 player. They had him. A lot of experts said he was going to go in the lottery. I watched enough of DeAndre Jordan. I understood there were some issues there. And to me, when I watched him, I said to myself, that's a guy that is going to be really good in this league. I saw enough where I said, team's got to take a chance on him. I'm not saying they needed to take a chance in the top 10, but you get to the end of that first round, beginning of the second round, and I'm just sitting here thinking, these teams are crazy for not taking him. And it came to the Wolves pick in the second round, and when they passed on DeAndre Jordan, I remember saying to myself, this is a huge mistake. Definitely should have taken him. I think Cole Anthony's the same way. He's a guy that, obviously, many people talked about in that, you know, top player, you know, top five for sure, but in many cases, top two prior to the season starting. And I think that we need to not lose sight of that. So Cole Anthony, again, at number eight spot on my draft board. Next up, we have Onyeka Okongwu. I know I'm lower on him than others. A big thing for Onyeka, I really like Onyeka, first of all. He's going to be a very good defender. There's a lot to like. I just do not personally value the center position like I do other positions. The center position is very, very replaceable. But I do like Onyeka Okongwu. People like to talk about him as being one of the safer picks in the draft, and I think that's fair. If you need a center, you can take him earlier than this. You can. I don't value that position as much. So in many cases on this board, I am going to be lower than other people as far as big men are concerned. But I do have him at nine. Looking at the consensus, we have Trade NBA 4, CBS 8, ESPN 5, and The Ringer 5. Let's move it on. We're going to go a little quicker now because, you know, we got a lot of names to go through. Devin Vassell, I have at number 10. Devin Vassell, 6'5" out of Florida State, 6'10 wingspan. He is a sophomore. A lot of people like Devin Vassell. This is going to be kind of that area, right? I think he could go anywhere from, let's say, as early as 6 or 7, and I have him, obviously, 10th on my board. Trade NBA has him 10th. CBS has him 12th. 11 at ESPN, and The Ringer has him at 7. So a lot to like about Devin Vassell. Going to be a very good two-way prospect. He did come out, for anyone that isn't aware of this, there was an interesting video that surfaced of his shooting form, and everyone was freaking out. Now, personally, I didn't see a giant difference, and part of it, to me, was the angle, of course, but it was still similar. It was more extreme, but it was similar to his original shooting form, and as he stated recently, it was just something he was goofing around. It wasn't anything like a changed form. He said, why would I change my form? That's what everyone was asking. Why would you change your form? Apparently he has not. So I'm going to trust, just like I did before he came out and said that. I'm not worried about his shot. I think he's going to be a fantastic player for years to come. Next up, we have Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams, I'm on record. If you have not listened to our Florida State episode, I highly suggest you go back and do so. We interviewed their coach, Leonard Hamilton, other people on all the Florida State prospects. A lot to like about Patrick Williams. But one thing that stands out to me is what a pretty jump shot that man has. He is going to be a very good player for years to come, and he's going to be able to be switchable. He's going to be able to play, obviously switchable means multiple positions as far as defense is concerned, and he's going to be a good shooter. Good two-way prospect, a lot to like about him, and he's one of the youngest players in the draft, so these are all things you want to keep in mind when you're looking at where he is valued. Trade NBA has him 11th, CBS 13th, ESPN 9th, The Ringer 16th. So kind of in this back half of the lottery is where a lot of people do end up having him. Next up, this is where things really change quite a bit. I'll tell you that I am a bigger fan of this guy than most people. Now, granted, he's from my home state of Minnesota, but put that aside, and I'm telling you, if you really watch his game and you really see what I see, I think he's going to be a fantastic player. Ceiling is off the charts, and I would argue he's a much more complete player than most people give him credit for, and that is Tyrell Terry, 6'2", out of Stanford. I love Tyrell Terry here at pick number 12. To me, he's very underrated passer. If you watch him in high school, you know, I think part of the reason why you didn't see the assist numbers and you didn't see him passing as much, or you didn't see him able to show off, is the style of offense that Stanford runs. It's just not prone to that. It kind of distributes passing a little more. But I think Tyrell Terry is going to be a very good next level. Arguably the best shooter in the draft, right? He's one of the best shooters in this class. Underrated passer, as I stated. I actually think he is a much better defender than people give him credit for. He's also a very athletic player, but he's also already put on 20 pounds of muscle. We've seen videos of him, and he looks fantastic as far as strength. That's something that people talked about, how he really had to add strength, and he's not done, right? He's going to add some more strength, likely. It's one of those things where you don't want him to lose any of that speed that he has. Not that he's like this, you know, ultimately super speedy, fast player, but he's a guy that, you know, you don't want him to get slow necessarily, but I do think he's going to appropriately put that on, and he's already started. And at 12, I think, you know, sky's the limit for Tyrell Terry. Trade NBA consensus is 20, CBS 23, ESPN 39. Can you imagine being in the second round and somehow getting Tyrell Terry on your team? I mean, that's the steal of the draft if that somehow happened. So then ESPN 39, but The Ringer at 8. Kevin O'Connor is a big fan of Tyrell Terry, and I completely get it. I was honestly very close to having him in my top 10, but I did settle at 12. Next up, another player that I am much higher than most people, and I do think when all is said and done, this could be the best value pick anyone takes in this draft class, Desmond Bane. People are sleeping on Desmond Bane a little bit. Not that they don't like him, but he's not as high as he should be in my estimation. So I do have him at 13th. Obviously, the senior out of TCU, 6'6", 6'5", wingspan. People like to talk about NBA draft hot takes. And I'll tell you right now, you can call this a hot take if you want, but I'm going to kind of plant my flag here on this spot, and that is if Desmond Bane was younger, I think he'd be the top overall pick. That's how high I am on Desmond Bane. He's got such a complete game, very, very high IQ. He's strong. Like, he's got NBA strength already coming in day one. I'm not worried about that. He can shoot. He can pass. He can defend. A lot to like about Desmond Bane. The only knock on him, to me, is his age. But here's the deal. He can come in day one, and he's going to contribute in many facets. Someone is going to get an crazy, crazy, crazy value. And if we look at the consensus here, Trade NBA has him 23, CBS 22, ESPN 34, and The Ringer 20. So I'm much higher than most of these people. I shouldn't be. Desmond Bane is a guy that too many people are down on. Or not necessarily down, but not high enough for my estimation. Next up, you have 14, and you're probably saying to yourself, man, when is James Wiseman going to come off the board? What's happening there? He's going to come off the board right now. Pick number 14, obviously the center out of Memphis, 7'1", 7'6". I have concerns about James Wiseman. A lot of people, I've seen people talk about him as being a safe pick. I'm not sure what games you watched. If you watch his game against Oregon, there is nothing safe about that pick. You are drafting a project. He is not going to come in day one and just be ready to do all these things that people want him to. He's not going to come in day one and be lights out from three or like a really good three-point shooter, this amazing passer, or this amazing defender. Honestly, he's a low IQ player in many aspects of his game. You look at that Oregon game, and again, the reason why we look at that Oregon game is because the only competition he played, it's basically the only good team he played, and he did not look good. Do not go off of stats when you're judging players. Just don't do it. It just doesn't make sense. If you watch that game, he took some bad, the shot selection's bad. If you look at him on the defensive end, he buys fakes. He leaves the ground too often. There's lots of issues with James Wiseman's game. I have him at 14 because there's a lot to like about him if you're projecting him out as a player, right? He's going to be a rim runner. There's going to be things about James Wiseman's game that are going to be very, very solid, but they're not there yet, and there's better players. And again, the center position is replaceable. I can't say that enough, that the center position is incredibly replaceable. And so I'm going to be lower on centers. There's better players than James Wiseman in this draft class. And all that being said, guess what? if I'm a betting man, he's probably going number one overall. I do think that's going to happen. I do think he's going to go number one overall. He's going to then be traded to the Hornets. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, that is something I do firmly believe in, that that is going to happen. Next, and by the way, let's look at the consensus. Three on Trade NBA. CBS is two. ESPN is three. The Ringer is six. And I try to have these conversations with people, let's say on Twitter. It's tough to have conversations with people about James Wiseman because I don't get the feeling that a lot of these people have watched him play, or they have watched him play with rose-colored glasses. If you want to watch things appropriately, go on YouTube, and if you look up, go to James Wasserman's, or sorry, Jonathan Wasserman of the Bleacher Report. He has a video where it's just like looking at the negatives from that Oregon game. I promise you, you will not regret it. I think it's very important to take a look. Next up, we have at 15, Alexei Pokusevsky. Trade NBA has him 19th, CBS 19th, ESPN 18, and The Ringer 12. The famous phrases when it comes to Alexei Pokusevsky are mystery man. People love to say mystery man, mystery man. And then the other thing that you'll hear a lot of people talk about when it comes to Poku is unicorn, right? That's one of those things. When it comes to the draft, people love to throw out the word unicorn as something that, you know, is, can you take a chance on this guy? Is he going to become this mythical thing that you've never seen before? Honestly, he could. Now, I've seen some people that have him as high as second on their draft boards. You know what? If you are one of those people, I get it. I understand the draw of Alexei. He could be, I mean, you look at the physical profile. The biggest issue that I have with Alexei, of course, is going to be when you look at him, is he going to be able to put on the necessary weight to be able to play at the next level, right? This is a guy that is going to be a bit of a project, no questions asked. You know, 7 feet tall, 7'3" wingspan. He has shown some, pretty good propensity to play pretty good defense. He can shoot. He's a playmaker. You know, he's kind of a, I'm going to say this, he's a lot of the things that we look at Denny Avdija, right? Not the same player by any means, but just a guy that, you know, has the potential to really impact the game in many different ways. But a lot of it's going to be, you know, what's he going to be able to do? And I don't see him as, you know, you look at young players and you say, oh, he's got to get stronger. I personally don't look at it the same as I look at most players, right? Like Tyrell Terry, you watched him in college, you said, you know, he's got to get stronger. Like, it was just kind of a blanket statement saying, you know, he needs to get stronger. But it's not a really big question mark necessarily, because most players, right, can get stronger. Tyrell Terry did. Now, if you look at Alexei Pokusevsky, there's, you know, his physical profile, there are some questions as to whether he's really going to be able to put on the muscle and keep it on. There are question marks there. So what's going to happen there? Now, you look at, you know, some other players that have been, you know, really tall players coming into the league that maybe have guard-like tendencies, and some guys just don't have the ability to put on weight. I mean, it happens. They just don't. It just doesn't work. And so that's a big question mark, I think, for Alexei. Now, people love to talk about the level of competition, and they like to rip on the level of competition he played at. So for anyone that's not aware, he played over Olympiacos B. He is technically the youngest player to play in the EuroLeague, but he really, I mean, just came in for, you know, nothing. It wasn't even a cup of coffee, right, as they say in the baseball world. It was pretty much nothing. And so, but if you think about the level of competition, right, I mean, he's the youngest player in the draft class. And here's the thing I want to talk about when it comes to Alexei. How is it different than taking a guy out of high school? You're sitting here, let's say you're 18 years of age or 19 years of age or whatever. And to me, how is it different? The guy's dominating a low level of competition. What do you think happens when players come out of high school? They're dominating a low level of competition. So, I mean, I guess in his instance, at least he's technically playing what would be considered professionals, I guess. I don't know. It's a goofy thing, but to me, I don't judge him as harshly as other people do. I think 15 is very apparent, very good. I think anywhere, you know, whether it's 10, whether it's 20, somewhere in that range, I think is where he's likely going to go. A team is going to take a chance on him. It makes sense, especially a team that doesn't need to, you know, a team that doesn't need someone that's going to jump in right away. Poku is going to be the guy. Now, I have him at 15. Trade NBA consensus is 19. CBS 19. ESPN 18. And The Ringer 12. So we're all kind of in that same ballpark as far as the area of the draft that he's going to go. Next up, we have, you know, I'm higher on this guy than almost anybody. I mean, I've seen a number of people that I trust, and I've seen their big boards, and they have him up there with me. And so I'm not alone necessarily, but when you look at the consensus, it's a big difference for us and me when it comes to Grant Riller. I love Grant Riller. I'm not going to go in depth. If you want to know about Grant Riller, if you want to learn more about his game, definitely check out our Grant Riller episode. Lots to like about him. College of Charleston. I get that they're not playing the high level of competition, but man, if you watch him play, his game is going to translate. I 100% believe that. Trade NBA has him 38th, 33 at CBS, 44 at ESPN, and the Ringer is 43. So we're talking more than double in terms of how far back they have him compared to me. Next up, Tyrese Haliburton. I have him at 17. I like Tyrese Haliburton, and I have no issues with some teams that want to take him higher than this. I just, to me, I like Tyrese Haliburton. I don't love Tyrese Haliburton, although I do think he's going to be a very good player. I think he's going to be a player that likely does go in the top 10. It wouldn't shock me. One team that has started to have ties to him is my Timberwolves. I strongly hope that's not the case. I just don't think he's a good fit there. But if Tyrese Haliburton goes in the top 10, I'm not going to be surprised. People are very, very high on him. And look at the consensus. Trade NBA 8, CBS 6, ESPN 8, The Ringer 10. I like Tyrese Haliburton, 6'5", 6'8", wingspan. He's going to be a very good player, and a lot of teams are going to like him. I just, you know, when it came to my big board and where I had to rank players, there's just players I just like bet more than him. And so I did end up dropping him a bit. Next up, at 18, Aaron Nesmith. And Nesmith, 6'6", 6'10", wingspan, sophomore. I have him at 18. The consensus on Trade NBA is 13, CBS 11, ESPN 13, and The Ringer 19. Aaron Nesmith, you can argue that he's the best shooter in this draft class, and I don't think anyone can really disagree with you. Obviously, a small sample size this past season, where he really, really set the bar high. I've watched enough of Aaron Nesmith where I feel like he is going to be an effective defender at the next level. And now you're talking about a fantastic shooter, a solid defender, and you're telling me that there isn't a team out there that could use him immediately. Tons of teams could use him. I think he's going to be a very sought-after player, and it wouldn't shock me if he goes sooner than this. Time will tell. Trade NBA has him 13th, CBS 11th. ESPN 13, and The Ringer is right with me, basically. They have him at 19. Next up, at 19, I have Precious Achiuwa. I am super high on Precious. I think he's going to be very, very switchable. He's going to be a guy that I actually believe that he's going to be able to be an effective jump shooter. He's not there yet. He has some issues. One thing when you watch Precious, at times he turns his body a little bit to the left, so he kind of loses that centering when he shoots. But I've seen enough where I'm buying the jump shot to be something he's going to be able to hit at the next level. 6'9", 7'2", wingspan, obviously out of Memphis. Again, I have 19. Trade NBA 17, CBS 17, ESPN 12, and The Ringer is at number 24. Next up, we have at 20, Sadiq Bey. I really, really like Sadiq Bey. I definitely think there's a good chance he goes earlier than this. Just kind of where he fell on my draft board, he could have easily gone higher. I really like Sadiq Bey. I have him 20. Remember, 6'8", 6'10", wingspan from Villanova, but I have him 20th. Trade NBA is 15. CBS is 10. So CBS is very high on Sadiq Bey. ESPN 17, and The Ringer is 18. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, most people kind of have him in that 15 to 20 range, I think, and that's probably likely where he ends up going. Next up, we have another player that I am higher on than most. I just love the jump shot. I think he projects to be a pretty good defensive player. A lot to like about his game. That is Arkansas sophomore shooting guard, 6'5", Isaiah Joe. Isaiah Joe, again, I have him at 21 here. Trade NBA is 39. CBS is 39. ESPN is 48. And The Ringer is 28. I really like Isaiah Joe. I did not do an episode. Kind of ran out of time to do episodes on some of these other players as far as a focused episode. But Isaiah Joe is a guy you're going to want to look out for. I think he's going to be very, very good at the next level. Next up, everyone knows how much I like this guy. I tout him constantly on social media. If you have a draft board that doesn't have this man on it, I will make you aware of it. I will talk to you about it. I will tell you to listen to my earlier show where we do have on his coach, Kyle Smith-Peters. And we all know that is Jay Scrubb. Now, looking at Jay Scrubb, here's an interesting thing. The Ringer doesn't have him ranked. He's not listed as ranked. That's absolutely a mistake. Trade NBA is 56, CBS is 53, ESPN is 75. You are making a gigantic mistake. Jay Scrubb is the real deal. There's a reason why there have been scouts that reportedly have said he is a lottery talent. I get that he hasn't played at a high level of competition, but think about it. Arizona wanted him to come in, and he made the decision to forego going to Arizona because he was committed there for this next season, and he decided not to do it. He's joining the draft class. Great decision, if you ask me, and someone is going to get a value here. And if he goes late, like if let's say he doesn't go as early as he should. Now, one thing I'll say is I believe it's pick 16. The Blazers are reportedly very high on Jay Scrubb, and there's rumors he might take him. They might take him. In fact, I think one of the rumors is that he has a promise. I don't know if that's true, but there's definitely some steam to get him in that first round. I have him 22nd, and honestly, I thought about even having him higher. I think Jay Scrubb is the real deal, and people are going to look at this draft class and say, I was wrong about Jay Scrubb. Not me, personally, but I think a lot of draft experts are going to look at this and say, you know what, we screwed up here. Again, there's obvious question marks with the level of talent that he's up against when he's playing in that lower level of competition, but it just doesn't bother me. He showed me so much. And his growth as a shooter, as a defender, if you watch him at the beginning of the season and then go towards the end of the season this past year, I'm telling you, he improved to me greatly on the defensive end. And it was never effort. A lot of people hate when you say a guy's going to get stronger. What I hate is when people immediately question defensive effort because a player's not good on defense. I'm sorry, but a guy that from day one of this past season is willing to draw charges and is willing to sacrifice his body is a player that is putting the effort in. So I hate that notion that guys don't put in the effort that a lot of people like to just go to. That's a well that I think is dried up at this point. Enough people have gone to it. Let's just move on from that. And so Jay Scrubb at 22. Next up, another guy I'm very high on, another guy that we did an episode on, is Paul Reed out of DePaul. 6'9", 7'2", wingspan. I have him here at 23. He's a guy that's going to be able to, you know, likely guard positions 1 through 5 based on matchups. He talked about how he's putting in a lot of work to improve as a ball handler. And he was already a guy that could push the pace a little bit. So I wouldn't call him a bad ball handler, but it's not necessarily a strength of his. And if he's going to put in the work, he said, I'm going to become a good ball handler because I want to play the three. Just think about Paul Reed playing the three. Absolutely incredible. I mean, that would be so much fun. I think he's going to be very, very switchable, and there's a lot to like about him. There's question marks. You know, when you hear him talking about his ball handling, the one thing you say to yourself is, well, what about shooting? Because, a pretty good post player, but when it comes to shooting jump shots, whether it's the three, I mean, he's got some work to do. He's shown he can make the three-point shot, but it's not a strength by any stretch of the imagination. And now, we talked about Precious Achiuwa earlier. I say to myself, all right, I think he's going to be able to be a decent shooter. I do have question marks about Paul Reed. That's the biggest question mark I have, but he's such a good defender. I think there's some people out there that think that Paul Reed's the best defender in this class. Now, granted, I'm of the ilk. I definitely think it's Isaac Okoro, but a close second, Paul Reed is up there, right? He's very much up there. So I have him 23. Trade NBA 35, 50 CBS, ESPN 52, and The Ringer 35. I'm sorry, guys. You are too low on Paul Reed. Paul Reed is the real deal, and he's going to be very, very good at the next level. Next up, a little bit of a project player. 24, we have RJ Hampton. When I watch RJ Hampton play, and maybe it's just the way he looks on the court. I don't know. Something. I get these Zach LaVine vibes from him. Obviously, he's an very athletic player. He's not there yet, right? RJ Hampton has a long ways to go before he's really going to be, I think, a top prospect. He's putting the work in on his shot. Obviously, that's one of the areas that a lot of players in this draft class are putting in the work. We'll see if some of these changes can be made and he can become a better player. I like RJ Hampton as a prospect, but there are some concerns there, right? He's not a ready-made guy. He's got a lower floor. He's got a high ceiling, but he's got low floor, and that's why he's sitting here at number 24 for me. Trade NBA has him 18, CBS 18, ESPN 15, and The Ringer 21. Next up, we have a guy you're probably wondering, hey, when was this guy going to come off the board? I think maybe you forgot about him. Nope, I did not forget about him, and that is Obi Toppin, power forward at 6'9", 6'11", wingspan out of Dayton. He is a sophomore, but he's also a senior citizen. Oldest player in this draft class, I believe. I mean, he's up there, right? The nickname that I gave him was Grand Poppin, and I'm just not a big fan of Obi Toppin. I have serious concerns about him. Now, at a certain point, I think it's valuable to take Obi Toppin, right? He's good enough offensively where you say to yourself, all right, can we find a way to hide him on defense? Can we find a way to make him serviceable? Now, that's the big knock on Obi Toppin. I don't think he's ever going to be a good defender. He himself said, oh, I can be a good defender. Well, you know what, Obi? I don't think it's as simple as just saying I'm going to be a good defender. I have him lower for that exact reason at 25. And the other thing, too, I will say, when I watch Obi Toppin play, a lot of his success came on just being more athletic or being larger than the people he was up against. I have concerns about Obi Toppin at the next level, and that's why I have him down here at 25. Trade NBA 7, CBS is 5, ESPN is 6, The Ringer is 11. Hey, you want to be high on Obi Toppin, go right ahead. I am just going to strongly, strongly disagree. Next up, a player that I hadn't watched enough of earlier on in the process, but a player that I really have gotten into more recently, and that is Malachi Flynn. San Diego State point guard, 6'2", 6'3", wingspan, a junior. I am at 26. Malachi Flynn, very good shooter, very good defender. You know, in his conference, player of the year and defensive player of the year. I mean, they don't just give those awards out to anybody. He is going to be a very good player at the next level. So I have him 26. Trade NBA is 28. CBS 29. ESPN 31. And The Ringer is 33. Next up, we have Tyler Bay. I'll say this off the bat. A team like the Timberwolves, I hope you look at Tyler Bay. He's a very good player. Hey, if he's available at 33 for the Wolves, that is a coup. That is a win for sure. So Tyler Bay, 6'7", 7'1 wingspan out of Colorado. I have him 27. So does Trade NBA. I'm actually right at the consensus. You then have 45 for CBS, 28 for ESPN, and The Ringer is 36. Next up, Josh Green. Josh Green, you know, take away Isaac Okoro, and we're talking about probably the best on-ball defender in the draft. I mean, that's at least a conversation you can have. 6'6", shooting guard. A little over 6'10 wingspan out of Arizona, freshman, obviously. Josh Green is a very good player. There are some question marks about his shooting. Is that gonna work out? I mean, he's athletic. There's a lot to like about Josh Green. I had him higher up initially, and it's not that I'm down on Josh Green. I'm just higher on some other players. And so I have him at 22 for Trade NBA, 27 for CBS, 21 for ESPN, and 25 for The Ringer. At 29, I have Zeke Nnaji, another guy. I don't know what it is about Arizona players, but you know, I've moved him back a little bit. I had him higher. I like Zeke Nnaji. I don't love Zeke Nnaji, and again, that probably talks, you know, comes down to the fact that on larger players, bigger players, whether it's fives, fours, it's a little bit of a replaceable position, and so I'm definitely always going to be a little more down than some other people. Trade NBA has him 37. CBS 37, ESPN 36, The Ringer 44. So despite the fact that I'm a little down on him, I'm actually higher than a lot of people. Or I guess a lot of these other people, I should say. I know a lot of NBA draft social media is really high on Zeke Nnaji, so I'm probably in that same area as a lot of them. Next up is a guy that it's weird. When it comes to this guy, I find him very, very polarizing. Because I've had people tell me they just don't like him at all. I mean, legitimately, when I brought this player up, people are like, he's going to be terrible, or he's not going to be able to do this, or he's maybe never going to come over. And that is Leandro Bomaro, shooting guard, 6'7", with a 6'8 wingspan on Argentina. I have him 30th. I mean, if you watch him on the defensive end, that footwork, I mean, yeah, there's some solid footwork there. He's a young player. There's obviously question marks about his shot, but I've seen enough on the shooting aspects of it where I think that he's going to be able to become a decent shooter. I'm not going to say he's going to be elite, but he could figure some stuff out on that end. I have him 30th. Trade NBA is 26. CBS is 31. ESPN is 22. And The Ringer has him at 23. Next up, another guy that I had higher initially, and I've dropped him, and that is Jalen Smith. Watch Jalen Smith move. I don't find him to be all that switchable. To me, he's a center. Plain and simple, that's what he is. He's a center, 6'10". Can he be a good defending center? Absolutely. Can he hit some threes? I'm sure he can. I don't necessarily buy that into being a big part of his game, especially given he's just not super mobile. When you watch him move on the basketball court, to me, he screams, I am a center. And that is the issue with him. When you compare him to Paul Reed, that's the biggest difference. Paul Reed doesn't move like a center. Paul Reed moves like a guy that's going to be switchable. Jalen Smith does not. That's why in the end, I did move him down my board. I have him at 31. Trade NBA has him 21. CBS 21. ESPN 20 and The Ringer 17. A team is going to get very good value with Jalen Smith if they need a center. I'm just down on him more than others. Jaden McDaniels is up at 32. I like Jaden McDaniels, and if you want to take him in the 20s, I completely get it, and I'm understandable for sure. And we talk about Poku and the strength concerns, but Jaden McDaniels is a small guy. 6'10", 6'11 and a half wingspan, freshman out of Washington. You know, the sky is the limit. There were times where people were talking about Jaden McDaniels, one of the top players in this draft class. It's not that he was bad at Washington, but you didn't see enough, and you're buying into the potential, right? You're taking a chance. This is basically, I'm going to go to the grocery store, I'm going to go to the gas station, I'm going to buy myself a lottery ticket, I'm going to say, you know, here's $5 on the Powerball, maybe I can hit it. And actually, probably Powerball's not, I don't think the odds are that astronomical. He could be a really decent player, and I love his potential, and I think there's a lot of teams that are going to take a chance on him in those in that 20s area, and he's going to make a lot of sense. Trade NBA is at 25, CBS 35, 23 for ESPN, and The Ringer 26. So kind of that back half of the first round, I think, is where he ends up going, or maybe early second if he slides a little bit. Next up, we have Trey Jones. Trey Jones, fantastic player, showed off with his athleticism at the combine. Very, very good defender. Some question marks about the shot, but from year one to year two, you definitely saw some improvements in that area. So to me, I'm going to buy the shot. I'm going to buy that defense. And actually, I think at 33, I could have him too low. I think there's a chance that he outperforms this for sure and ends up being a much better player. And I'm going to say this. At draft time, I was actually really high on Tyus Jones, but I do think Trey Jones is going to be a better player. Very good defender, and if he can figure it out offensively, he could be a very, very good player for a long time. And so I will say that about Trey Jones. At 33 here, I could be too low on him. Trade NBA has him 34, CBS 24, ESPN 30, and The Ringer 39. Next up, we have Peyton Pritchard. If you don't like Peyton Pritchard, then I don't like you. I mean, that not really necessarily that, but a lot of people are really down on Peyton Pritchard. I am a huge fan. I actually had him in the first round, and just kind of with some shuffling, I do think he's a first-round grade. I think he should go in the first round. If I was an NBA team, I would take a chance on him. It would make some sense. So Peyton Pritchard, very good shooter. And there's some cool videos out there that talk about his work ethic and how much time he puts into ball handling and things of that nature. Gets up early. The guy puts in hours in that gym, and he decides, you know, I may not be the best athlete, but I'm going to be the hardest worker. Kind of get some Rudy vibes, you know, when it comes to, you know, obviously, for anyone that doesn't know, Rudy, you know, obviously the movie, Notre Dame. I get some Rudy vibes from Peyton Pritchard, a guy that just puts in the work and is just determined to make it. I have him at 34 here, 46 for Trade NBA. CBS has him 41, ESPN 38, and The Ringer 42. So those are actually higher than I thought. I thought they were lower on a lot of cases, and I think there are a number of people that do have him in like the 50s or things like that, but to me, he's worth it earlier than that. Next up, you have Xavier Tillman. I'm going to probably be, I could be wrong on this. I do think he could go higher than this, or I think he maybe even belongs higher. I talk about how I'm just down on centers. It's such a replaceable position, but I do like Xavier Tillman. 6'8", 7'1 wingspan out of Michigan State. Trade NBA has him 29, CBS 25, ESPN 32, and The Ringer 45. So I'm right in that range. I don't think I'm necessarily, here's the thing. I talked about this with someone else, but when you get into like that 40 to 60 range, it gets the waters get a little muddy, right? It's tough to really say you're wrong about this guy because you have him at 44. I've got him at 40. I think you're really splitting hairs, and a lot of these players are going to be kind of switchable in terms of where they belong in this class. Let's see. Robert Woodard is a guy I really, really like. 6'7", 7'1 wingspan out of Mississippi State. I have him 36th here on my board. Looking at Trade NBA 32, CBS 30, 26 for ESPN, and 22 for The Ringer. This dude is jacked. Looking at some of his videos for working out in the offseason, the guy is strong. I mean, he is going to make an impact day one for teams, and a lot of teams are going to like what he offers. I would not be shocked if he ends up going in the first round. Next up, Nico Mannion. I'm not super high on Nico Mannion. I'm not going to say I'm low on him, but I have some definite concerns. I like hearing that he's been putting on some weight. That's good to hear. 6'3", a little less than that wingspan. So he does technically have a negative wingspan. But I like Nico Mannion. He's got the NBA range. The guy can hit jump shots. And he's a smart player. When I watch Nico Mannion play, doesn't make a ton of mistakes. It's interesting because another Arizona prospect that I've moved down my board a little bit. Initially, I did have him higher than this. And you talk about early in the season, a lot of people had Nico Mannion in their top 10. And now we're looking at him as a later prospect. There's a lot to like about Nico Mannion. I think he's a really solid player. But to me, he's a bit undersized. And so there are some question marks there. All right, next up, looking at what else we have, 38. Oh, by the way, Nico Mannion, I'm at 37. Trade NBA has him 30, CBS 36, ESPN 25, and The Ringer 27. All right, Devin Dotson, 38, I have him. I like Devin Dotson quite a bit. He's going to be a really solid player. 41 on Trade NBA, 43 CBS, 47 ESPN, The Ringer 29. I'm going to say this. There's a lot of really good quality point guards in this draft class. Some of them are older, but I do think there's a lot of teams are going to be able to get good point guards, whether it's backups, some starters, obviously, but guys that are going to be in the league a really long time. So keep that in mind as you're going through here. Next up at 39, a guy that I am very, very high on. I've watched him play more recently, and I love his game. That's Skylar Mays. Fantastic senior season, 6'4 out of LSU. The Ringer, we talked about them earlier, but The Ringer does not have him ranked. And Trade NBA is 57, CBS 44, ESPN 46. I'm going to call it, you are wrong on this one. I do think Skylar Mays is going to be a really good player at the next level. We always say time will tell, and that's what you have to do when it comes to NBA draft circles. But at 39, I could be too low on him. I think he's a very, very good player, and someone's going to get very good value here in the second round. Next up, Isaiah Stewart. I'm at 40, and I'm actually, by all accounts, kind of low on him. And I had him lower than this. I did move him up a little bit. But at 40, I have Isaiah Stewart, the 6'9", 7'4", wingspan center out of Washington. Trade NBA has him 33, CBS 26, ESPN 27, and The Ringer 30. Cassius Winston at pick 41. Trade NBA has him 36, CBS 28, ESPN 29, and The Ringer 41. I like Cassius Winston. He's a solid player. I liked him last year in the draft when we were going through that process. I liked him then. Obviously, he stayed in school, but one of the bigger knocks on him, of course, is going to be his age. He's got a higher floor, lower ceiling, but I like Cassius Winston. I think he could be in the league a really long time. Jalen Harris, I have next at 42. I'm very high on him. I credit NBA Draft Twitter. I want to say it was Mavs Draft. I think Richard Stamen is one of the guys that really got me on Jalen Harris, and I've really started to dive into his film more, and I really like him. Jalen Harris is a quality prospect here at 42. 6'5", out of Nevada, junior. Trade NBA 63, CBS 70, ESPN 74. Ringer, again, not there. They don't have him. So I'm much higher than the consensus, but credit NBA Draft Twitter for really putting him on my radar. Next up, a guy that actually maybe I could be too low on. I like him, but I don't love him, is Jameis Ramsey, point guard out of Texas Tech, 6'6", wingspan, 6'4", height. I have him at 43, Trade NBA 31, CBS 40, ESPN 35, and The Ringer 37. Next up, Theo Maledone. I know that I'm more so in the minority. I think a lot of people have Maledone a lot higher. I just don't see... when I watch Maledone, he doesn't excite me. I know that's a really stupid way to evaluate someone, and it's a weird way to look at it, but that's kind of how I feel. I watch him and I go, I just don't see the appeal necessarily. Not that he's going to be a bad player. He could be I think he could be a quality backup point guard for years and years to come. Like we talked about, there's a lot of guys in this draft class that fit that mold. But I have him at 44, Trade NBA 24, CBS 20, ESPN 24, and The Ringer 31. So I'm lower than most of the people out there, but I'm just not a huge fan of Theo Maledone. Next up, Elijah Hughes. Elijah Hughes is a player, again, I like him. I don't love him. Some people are really high on him. I believe Mavs Draft, like we talked about earlier, I think he has him in his top 15. I'm a little more down on Elijah than he is. I like Elijah Hughes, though. I think this is a guy that you're going to get in that second round. You're going to be very pleased with the output you get from him. 47th on Trade NBA, 42 on CBS, exact with me, 45 on ESPN, and 38 on The Ringer. So we're all kind of in that same ballpark as far as Elijah Hughes is concerned. Next, I have Emmanuel Quickley, point guard, 6'4", 6'10", out of Kentucky. That is, Trade NBA has him 44, CBS 46, ESPN 41, and The Ringer 46. I will say this, I get to this point, and things are kind of muddied a little bit. Everything's really replaceable as far as where I can move guys, and so it gets a little muddy, is all I'm saying at this point. So next up, we have Killian Tilly at 47. Trade NBA has him 43rd, CBS 49, ESPN 53, and The Ringer 34. Next up, Yam Madar, point guard out of Israel, 6'2". Trade NBA has him 58th, CBS 79, ESPN 49, and The Ringer 40. So you definitely get a wide-ranging set of locations for Yam as far as big boards are concerned. Next, I have Cassius Stanley. the freshman, 6'6", 6'7", wingspan out of Duke. Trade NBA has him at 45, CBS 32, ESPN 51, and The Ringer 47. Next up at 50, I have Daniel Aturu. I'm not there yet buying into that shot. To me, it's slow. To me, I have concerns about him getting it off if he's not absolutely wide open. And so I do have concerns. Plus, he's a center. I've said it before. I'm just more down on centers than other people. He's out of Minnesota, sophomore. 40 on Trade NBA, 34 on CBS, ESPN 37, and The Ringer 48. I have heard from Minnesota insiders that he's likely going in the first round. I think that's a mistake. Well, maybe not. Maybe mistake's not the right word. But I just have concerns about Daniel Aturu, just like I do any other center. At 51, I have Jordan Nwora. I am at 51, ESPN 42, CBS 48, and Trade NBA 49. And The Ringer doesn't have him again. Very strange to me. The Ringer, I mean, they know what they want, right? Kevin O'Connor knows what he's doing. He's a very, very good evaluator of talent. I like KOC. There's just some players that we're a little different on. Then I have Mason Jones at 52. Trade NBA has him at 51. CBS at 56 and ESPN at 62. Next, I have Marcus Howard at 53, 55 on Trade NBA. CBS has him 51. ESPN has him at 60. And The Ringer, again, is the odd man out. They do not have him ranked. Vernon Carey, I have him at 54. Trade NBA says 42. CBS 38. ESPN 43. And The Ringer 49. Udoka Azubuike is my 55th. They have him at 48 on Trade NBA, 52 on CBS, 33 on ESPN, and 50 on The Ringer. Tyshawn Alexander is at pick number, or I guess spot 56, 50th on Trade NBA, 55 on CBS, 61 on ESPN, and The Ringer 32. Ringer is very high on him. Again, there's just certain areas we differ. And Ashton Hagans, there's something about Ashton Hagans that just, he really stands out to me. And I think taking a chance on him in the second round, I think is a good value. I think he's a guy that's you know, I didn't watch him a ton. I will say that I wanted to watch him more, but when I watched him play, there was just something there that I think he could be a valuable commodity in that second round. Maybe you make him into a two-way prospect, see what you can turn him into. But I have him at 57, ESPN 71, CBS right there with me at 58, and Trade NBA 66. And if you look at how this kind of played out, I would say that this is a pretty good spot for him. Of course, not a shocker, The Ringer, not on the list. And that's where I'm going to do it. I only did 57 prospects at this point. Some other guys, though, that I will add that are intriguing to me. There is a number of guys that I look at in this class, and I say, all right, who do I look at that I don't necessarily have ranked, but that I do think could be interesting prospects? A guy like Abdoulaye Ndoye, the French point guard, 6'7". That's right, 6'7". There's something there, right? He's a player that I think could be interesting. Looking at some of the other prospects that kind of caught my eye. Now, he's not in the draft anymore. He did end up staying in school. But Philippe Petrasev, we do have him on our draft class, actually. But he's an interesting prospect. There's a number of guys that are going to be available outside of the draft, I think, as undrafted free agents. Trent Forrest, we covered him in our Florida State episode. Very, very good defender. Lots of question marks about the shot. That's a guy I would definitely want to try to grab in that undrafted free agency pool. I like what he brings to the table as far as the defensive concerns, or as far as his defense. Kareem Main, another prospect that could be interesting out of Canada. There is some guys that I've looked at a little bit, but I haven't watched a ton of necessarily. But Caleb Wesson, we have Khalil Whitney. I mean, there's some guys that are going to be had in that undrafted pool that are going to be pretty good. How about Mamadi Diakite, the power forward out of Virginia? I mean, there's guys in this class. Nate Hinton. There's a number of guys. I know Najee Marshall is a popular name that people really like. There's guys that are going to be solid players. Paula Bua. I mean, the list goes on. There's going to be guys that are going to go undrafted that are going to be very good value plays for a team out there. Time will tell. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Robin Hoop. Really appreciate you listening. If you missed part of this episode on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel, make sure you listen on podcast form. You can find us on Podient, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere else podcasts are found. And until
next
week,
with the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, The Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA Draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA Draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA Draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.